Good morning, Grace. Glad you guys could be here with us for a second service this morning. If this is your first time here to Grace, my name is Sam Ferris. I'm one of the teaching pastors here. Glad that you are with us. We're in a series right now that we are going in the life of Jesus in chronological order. Last week, Jeff was preaching on the miracle of Jesus feeding the thousands and thousands of people, and that's what we're going to pick up today in chapter 14. Starting in verse 22, so if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. But before we do that, how many of you in here have ever been afraid of the water at some point? Like, you may not be terrified of the water, but at some point, you had an experience with water that terrified you or made you scared. Okay. So I'll give you a couple examples. One was when I was about 7 or 8, not been swimming very long, and my dad was like, hey, let's go swimming. I'm like, I thought we were going to the pool. I'm like, let's go. And we started driving in the woods. I'm like, where is he taking us? Where are we going? And he's like, we're going to go to the devil's breakfast table. And I said, whoa, the what? The devil's what? You know, I'm just a little kid. Like, that sounded scary to me. And then when we pulled up, I'm like, oh, this is a pretty place. But I looked at the water, and it was, you know, it was raging water in one part, and then there's this big, deep, black abyss, right? It could, might as well have been Mariana's Trench. Like, I was scared to death, just terrified, just because of the way it looked. And it was called the devil's breakfast table. I mean, who goes and swims the devil's breakfast table? The second time, I was quite a bit older. We just got our dive certification in Shorty and I had the bright idea that in the Bahamas, we should go on a shark feeding dive. We didn't get to feed them, but I thought it was such a great idea to go on this shark feeding dive. And so I don't know what I was thinking. It was really neat, but I really don't know what I was thinking, because we got on the dive boat and we go out, and again, I don't know what I was expecting. But we pull up, we gear up, and we're about to just go into the water. And I look around, and I see 40 to 50 6 to 8 foot sharks just swimming around the boat, like they'd been out there chumming all day. Like, I don't know what I expected. Maybe I thought that they were supposed to be on the bottom waiting for us. And the dive guy was like, you guys are going to be fine. It's good. It's good. Just don't wave or kick your feet. So we're just supposed to dive like this. But it was really neat. I still have all my fingers, but it was scary. Just seeing the surface of the water was scary. And that's what we're going to find today, that Peter and the disciples were out on the water, and they were scared. They were terrified. So the title of today's message is Fix Your Eyes on Jesus. Fix Your Eyes on Jesus. Because there was a moment that Peter had an experience with water, and at the very beginning, he was brave. He was doing what God commanded him to do, and then all of a sudden, things happened, and he was fearful, and the situation that he was in changed drastically. You're probably familiar with this story, but I don't want to give too many spoilers. So before we go in the Word, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for your presence. Father, I just pray that your Spirit crash over us today. That you stir in our hearts. That you open up our minds and you open up our eyes to see and hear your Word and your presence in our lives. Father, that we go out of here changed. That we go out of here with our faith stronger than it was when we got in here this morning. Father, I pray all these things in your name, because you are able. And you're greater than everything. You're greater than the wind and the waves and the situation in our lives, Father. Father, I know that everyone in here are at a different place in their life, and some of them are going through storms right now. They're going through some trials. They're going through some difficulties. They're going through some hardships. Father, I just pray that they turn all those over to you. Father, just let them know that you are there with them in the midst of their storm and their trials. Father, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. So fix your eyes on Jesus. Verse 22, let's go ahead and get into it. Now, we pick up, Jeff talked about last week, Jesus just fed the thousands and thousands of people, like they're at the buffet at Golden Corral, right? He just fed them with like a couple of fish and a couple loaves of bread. They're eating their field and they had leftovers. So miraculous event. So this is happening directly after that. So immediately he made the disciples get into the boat. So when the disciples get in the boat together, it's usually not a good thing. And go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. So it's like, you guys go on ahead of me and I'll be there shortly. But he made the disciples. He commanded the disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side alone. Alone. It wasn't a suggestion. He said, get in the boat and go. Verse 3. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. So what I love about this, before he fed the thousands and thousands of people, they were trying to go off and have quiet time. So here we have Jesus, the Son of God, the God on earth, go up to the mountain and have quiet time, to have that peaceful time. So he's modeling to us that we need to get off by ourselves and get away from all of life's distractions, to turn off our phone for a few minutes, to turn off our TV for a few minutes, turn off everything going around us, and just focus solely on his presence, solely on his word, and listen to his voice. So he went up by himself on the mountain to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But, like I said, when the disciples get in the boat, there's always a but. The boat, by this time, was a long way from land, beaten. So it's like not a joyride, not a pleasure cruise, by the waves, for the wind was against them. So again, we have the disciples in a boat, and their storm comes. The winds come. The waves start to beat and batter the boat. And just like before, they're in this boat, and Jesus is asleep in the boat, and they're like, they're terrified. We're going to die. Now they're in the boat again without Jesus, and they hit another storm. Like every time Jesus tells us to get in the boat and go somewhere, we get in a storm. There's a reason behind those storms. But they're out and they're alone. Same dudes, probably the same boat, but just a different storm. Another storm rises up. But the thing is, if we read the scripture, we look in scripture, Jesus led them into the storm. He didn't say, hey, if you sail 27 degrees north by 37 degrees, whatever, you'll miss it. No, he led them straight through the storm. He led them to the storm. He made sure that they were in the right vessel, going in the right direction to hit the right storm. He commanded them to go in that storm. The first storm they were in, he was with them and they were still terrified. They thought they were going to die. And now they're in another storm and Jesus is not with them. And like, who's going to save us now? Who's going to calm the winds and the waves now? What are we going to do? They were terrified. He sent them out alone. But Jesus sent them out in this storm to protect them. It doesn't sound like very good protection, does it? But at the end of chapter 6 in John, after he fed the thousands of people, a lot of them wanted to follow Jesus. A lot of them accepted who Jesus was. A lot of them didn't. Some of them wanted to kill Jesus right there on the spot. But there was also a group of people that wanted to take Jesus by force and force him to become king. And he knew it wasn't his time. And he also knew the disciples would try to defend him. So he sent them out into the storm to protect them. Doesn't sound logical, but he knew it wasn't his time yet. And they knew that they would fight for him. He led them into a storm for protection. So let this leave out here for a second. You may be going through a storm in your life right now, and you don't understand it. And you might be going through a difficult time in your life. And it's a stormy time in your life, and you don't understand it. But he may be leading you into that storm so that you focus in on him more. Maybe he's leading you into a storm to get away from something that was going to corrupt you. Because look at the disciples. They did not turn back. They did not look backwards. They looked forward. They did not turn around. The disciples focused on their objective. They did not turn around and look at what they were leaving behind, the people that were trying to harm them. So many times in life, God delivers us from something or leads us away from something that's going to harm us. And we're keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus and we're following his path. But man, that temptation to look behind you, the thing in your past that you were walking away from, it was so fun. It was pleasurable. Maybe that addiction that you walked away from by the strength of the Holy Spirit, maybe that looks really, really good. But they didn't turn around. They did not look back. See, even in our darkest times and in our storms, he's protecting us. He's trying to draw us to him, to draw our focus back to him, to put our full faith and our trust in him, that we don't turn around and look at the past things that he's leading us out of, that we look forward. In spite of their fear, they did not look back. They didn't look at what he was sending them away from. So what are you trying to go back to? What addiction are you trying to look back to? What relationship did he take out of your life on purpose for your benefit? And don't turn around and look back at it. Keep your eyes focused on him. In the middle of the storm, in the middle of their fear, they were terrified. They did not look back. They did not turn around. They kept rowing forward. They kept moving forward through the adversity, through the storm that was in their path, because they were in God's will, because they were doing what God told them to do. God commanded them to go into the storm. God called them to go to where it was scary. God called them to go into where it was uncomfortable. Not back, but forward. They didn't look to their past. They were in God's will. So even though they were going through a storm, they believed in his promises. They believed what he was telling them to do was on purpose. And it had a purpose. Verse 25. So we have them out in the storm. Verse 25, and it says, in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. So the fourth watch was like 4:00 in the morning. So in the middle of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. So they're crying out to him. In the middle of the night, they're rowing against the wind and the waves. And Jesus comes out walking on the water. Walking on the water. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." Ooh, scary ghost. And they cried out in fear. Think about it. We laugh about this scripture, but if you're out in a storm and it's dark and you're already afraid of the wind and the waves and thinking you're going to sink and you're going to die, and then all of a sudden you see this scary, shadowy figure walking on the water, which no one can do, you would be terrified as well. You would be scared as well. Don't think you're a tough guy. Don't be like, "Well, we'd know." You would be scared too. You would be scared. And they were probably crying out to God, "Save us." They were probably praying. Each one of them were probably praying their own prayer. "God, save us from the storm. You've saved us before. Calm, just use your voice to calm the wind and the waves, and we're going to trust in you." He's like, "I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to come to you directly." But they were terrified. It's a ghost. It's a ghost. But he's walking on water. Verse 27. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Sometimes that's a recurring theme over the last few weeks, is Jesus telling us, don't be afraid. He's not saying that it's not normal to be fearful as a human. That's a human quality that we all have, that we all share. Some are just more fearful than others. But fear is something that we all deal with. But Jesus is telling us constantly, do not be afraid if you're my will. If you're focused in on me, take heart. It's me. I am not a ghost. I'm not something that's scary. I'm coming out to help you, not to harm you. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to protect you. I'm here to save you. They were terrified in that first storm when Jesus was actually with them. And now they're in the second storm and they're terrified that Jesus is not with them. See, we can't overlook the fact that Jesus did not come to them right away. He could have, but he let them linger in the storm. He let them stay in the storm that he led them to on purpose. He let them fight against the wind. He let the waves and the water hit them in the face on purpose. It was 3 or 4 in the morning. They were tired. They'd been rowing for about 5 miles. They were almost all the way across the Sea of Galilee. They were almost to the other side. Then Jesus shows up on a Sunday stroll on the water, walking on the surface of the water. He led them into the storm. He allowed them to go through the storm. He let them linger there. You may be going through a storm right now because he led you into that storm. You may not understand the purpose of it yet, but it's probably to build your faith, to build your trust in him, to make you stronger. He came to them so that they could see who he was. He came to them. He calmed the first storm with just his words. He spoke. And the winds and the waves, they died down. And what was their response? They're like, what kind of man is this? Who is this? Say they didn't understand. They didn't know. They're like, even the wind and the waves obey him. And in this storm, they are terrified. And this is a haunting kind of fear. They think they're seeing a ghost. And they were probably like, oh God, save us. He's like, here I am. I'm coming to you. But when he addressed them, he's saying, what other God can do what I'm doing now? Because they've seen all these other gods and goddesses that people worshiped, right? We have all different things in our lives that people worshiped. Muhammad couldn't walk on water. Buddha couldn't walk on water. I'm pretty sure he couldn't even swim. Taylor Swift can't walk on water. Donald Trump can't walk on water. Your heroes cannot walk on water. Your idols, the people that you look up to, the people that you worship, cannot walk on water. Only God can walk on the surface of something that you cannot walk on. And he came out to them. Now we think about that. Why did he walk out onto the water? Why was he demonstrating this defiance of gravity when he could have just gotten to another boat and went to him? Maybe he could have just appeared on the boat with them. I mean, he's God. He could have done that. But there's a purpose of letting them stay in the storm, battle through the storm, be scared in the storm, and to see and hear him walk out to them. He was fulfilling scripture. In Psalm 77, it reads like this. It says, your way was through the sea. Your path was through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. See, they knew this scripture. They knew the Old Testament. They knew what the psalmist was talking about. That God himself, the creator of the water, could walk through it. And Jesus is coming out to them on top of the water. He's revealing to them who he is. That I am the only one that can walk on water. That I'm the only one that can do these things. They were terrified. And they're like, Lord, are you a ghost? He kind of looked like one walking out of that water. And eventually he does become a ghost of some sort. But fear is normal. Fear is normal when we don't have control. A lot of us, when we don't have control of a situation, that's when we become fearful. That's when fear can creep in the most, is when you think you're controlling a situation, when you're controlling everything that's going on in your life, and then all of a sudden you lose control. That's when you become fearful. That's when you become fearful. The other day, we were driving to the Blue Ridge Mountains, and we passed the Ocoee, and there were whitewater rafting. And I told Carson, I was like, hey, we need to go whitewater rafting. He's like, I don't know. Right? There's that little bit of fear, right? It's that little bit of fear. I'm like, oh, come on, it'll be fun. I don't know. But yet we can go that same river, and he gets on these big boulders and hops from boulder to boulder over the water. Like, that's scaring me. Quit. Why? Because he thinks he has control of the situation. It's him that's jumping from boulder to boulder. He's not controlling what the boat does, right? If you feel like you don't have control, that's where fear starts to creep in. The disciples had no control over what was going on around them, and they were terrified. But see, Jesus comes to them walking on the water, doing what no other God can do, doing what no other person can do, and he's showing them, look at me. Not only do they hear his voice and are comforted, but now they can see him. They can see him, but yet they're still scared. There's still a little bit of doubt. So if you're taking notes, the first point is Jesus is always with us in our storms. He is always in the boat with us, even if we can't see him. That we are never abandoned. We are never alone. When we're going through that storm, when we're going through fear, when we're going through that situation, he is right there with us. And if we're in his will, he probably led us to that storm to begin with. Because he's trying to show us something. He's trying to teach us something. He's trying to build our faith. There's a reason for the storm. There's a reason that he led us there. We are not abandoned. Now, this is where I want to go and kind of go in a different direction. Because I think a lot of times when we read this scripture, and usually most of all of us know what happens next when they see Jesus walking on the water, we like to focus in on the lack of faith of Peter. But I'm going to go in a different direction. We're going to see that. Verse 28. So we have Jesus walking out on the water, doing what no other person can do, defying gravity, defying the laws of physics. I don't know if he's hovering just a couple of inches over, if he's sinking down, his sandals are getting a little bit wet. I don't know. It doesn't matter. He's walking on a solid surface that is not solid. And Peter answered him. I love this. Lord, if it's you, Lord, command me to come out to you on the water. So Jesus lets Peter question him. And I think that's a telling sign that God is, it's okay for us to ask our Heavenly Father questions. It's okay to ask him why or if, as long as we're in his will. He says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come out to you. Command me to step out of this boat and to do what you're doing. I want to do what you're doing. If you're truly God, command me to come out. And I love how he responds because he says, come on, big boy. Come. He didn't give him instructions. He didn't say, well, this is what you got to do. Tighten your sandals, whatever. He put your floaties on. No instructions whatsoever. He said, come. Get out of the boat, Peter. Get out of the boat and come to me. Step out of the boat. You have bold enough faith to ask me. Have bold enough faith to step out of the boat. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came to Jesus. There was nothing special about Peter whatsoever, except he had bold enough faith to ask God that I want to do what you're doing. I want to go to where you are. I want to be in your presence. I want to keep my eyes focused on you. I want to go where you're calling me to go. Jesus said, come on out. Come to me. If you keep your eyes focused on me, you can do the God things that I'm doing. And he stepped out of the boat. He began to walk on the water. He didn't dance on the water. He didn't go round and round in circles. He didn't say, hey guys, look what I'm doing. That'd have been easy to do, but he kept his eyes focused on the ghostly figure of Jesus. As soon as he stepped out of that boat and he felt a solid surface, he knew And he had faith, and he started to walk on something that has no business being walked on. Every time I've been in the water, I've never been able to walk on it. I've always sunk. Everyone will always sink. You're not going to be able to walk on the water. Hate to burst your bubble. But notice, Jesus did not fix their problem. He did not walk out onto the water and fix their problem. They were still in the storm. He just called Peter to come out. And Peter, having that bold faith, stepped out of the boat. He didn't say, oh, nope, that's not for me. No, get somebody else to do it. Matthew, you go. He didn't. He stepped out in faith. See, but a lot of us, when we first become Christians or everything's going great, it's easy to have that bold faith. Like if God's calling you to a ministry and you're like, I've got this. God, you're going to control my steps. I believe in you. I trust you. And you begin to step out and you make those first steps, but then the storm comes and life hits you in the face or somebody talks bad about you. Things begin to creep in. Those doubts begin to creep in and you begin to doubt. What starts happening? You start to sink. That bold faith that you had at the beginning kind of diminishes. And God's saying, you need that bold faith to step out, but bold faith is not enough. We have to have that staying faith. We have to have faith that lasts. Peter needed faith that would get him from the boat to Jesus. But see, he was only demonstrating that bold faith. He wasn't demonstrating the faith that would take him all the way to Jesus. See, it's easy to have faith, bold faith, when it's nice and sunny outside like it is today, but on a cloudy, rainy, stormy day like yesterday, it's a little bit harder to have that bold faith. Or maybe if you're going through a storm in your life and trials in your life, it's harder to have that bold and staying faith. But he's saying, I want you to have faith in me despite of your storm. I want you to have faith in me in the middle of your storm. In the middle of your situation, because I brought you to it. And if he can bring you to it, he can bring you out of it. He can see you through it. So faith is not the absence of fear. It's okay for us to be afraid. It's okay for you to feel fear. But faith is trusting Jesus despite fear. See, Peter was still afraid. The storm was still going on around him. He was still afraid that it might be a ghost. He was afraid that he was stepping out into a place that he had no business being in. And he stepped out in faith despite his fear, despite what was going on around him. Verse 30. But just like all of us, when we have our eyes focused on Jesus, and everything's going good, it's easy for us to be distracted. It's easy for us to start turning our shoulder and looking back at the things that he led us away from. It's easy for us to get distracted by the wind and the waves. He says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. So in the span of about 2 seconds, he went from the euphoria of walking on water to God to being afraid again and sinking. And all of a sudden, he remembered that he couldn't swim or something. And instead of getting back into the boat or swimming to the boat, he cried out to Jesus, Lord, save me. I am sinking. When he saw the wind, it was just a little, and that's all it took for him to be walking on the water. Maybe a little bit of water got into his eye, but all it took was just a little distraction, the smallest of distractions around him to take his focus away from the Son of God to his fear, his surroundings, the storm that was in his life, and he began to sink. I don't know if he went above his head. I don't know if he just went to his knees, but he began to sink. The solid surface that he was walking on all of a sudden became water again. And he began to sink. And he said, Lord, save me. So remember that. When you are sinking, when you feel like you're going under, He tells us, go up onto the high place. Go to your secret place and talk with me. Pray with me. Be in my presence. But Peter's also showing us here that it's okay for you just to cry out. It don't have to be an eloquent prayer. It could just be like, God, save me. God, take my hand. Help me, save me. And he'll be there. See, Peter had this bold faith. Not because of what Peter could do or who Peter was, but because he was walking to the great I am. That he was walking to the creator of the universe. He was walking to the person that created that water that he was walking on to begin with. That the person he was walking to was greater than the waves, greater than the wind, greater than the water. That he was on a supernatural, solid surface when his eyes were on Jesus. That water didn't even exist. He was walking on something that was you shouldn't be walking on. But see, Peter wasn't walking on the surface of water. Peter was walking on the promises of God because he was looking directly ahead to Jesus. It could have been a field of hot lava, and Jesus could walk on it because he is God. And as long as he was in God's will, if Jesus called him out, Peter would be able to walk on water. Peter could walk on lava because he was following the commandments of Jesus. It would not matter. He was walking on his promises. But he lost focus. He let the fear creep in. He was letting what he turned away from in his past. He let that creep in. He began to sink. See, it doesn't take much to distract us. See, everything around us that's not God, everything is wind and waves and water, everything. It's a distraction. And how we deal with it is the most important part, that we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because it's so easy for us to have that squirrel moment. We might be in his will. We might be walking directly toward him. God, we're doing what you called us to do. I'm walking in your presence. And all of a sudden, something catches our eye. Something distracts us. Things happen in our life that distract us. Like, this morning, I thought of the movie Robin Hood. Right, Kevin Costner drawing back his bow. Right, Robin Hood. He doesn't ever miss. And he's fixing to draw his bow and fire, and Maid Marian blows in his ear. And all of a sudden, he can't shoot. All it takes is a little distraction in your life. All it takes is a small gust of wind or a small drop of water to get our focus away from Christ and what he wants us to do. And when that happens, we start looking focus and we lose focus on God. We start to sink. We start to not be able to walk in his promises, and we're walking to the direction of what the world is leading us in. We're focusing on the wind and the waves. That we focus in on the fear, and we focus in on the storms and the situations in our life. We begin to think, God, why did you bring me here? Why am I going through the storm? Why am I going through this situation? We lose sight of who we need to keep our eyes focused on. We lose that, and we lose our focus. Verse 31. But Jesus immediately reaches out his hand and took hold of him. Immediately took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? See, didn't he tell them the same thing in the first storm? Like, why are you guys panicking? Why are you guys afraid? Do you not know who I am? Do you not see it yet? That I am the Messiah. I am God. When he calmed the winds and his wave with his mouth, they're like, what kind of man is this? Now he's walking on the water to them. He's not only speaking to comfort them, his presence is there to comfort them as well. And he's saying to Peter, he's got him by the hand. He's like, dude, why are you all wet? Why did you doubt? Do you not know who I am? Oh, you have little faith. But he reached out and he saved him immediately. As soon as Peter cried out, Lord, save me. His hand was there. I don't know if he was under the water and Jesus just picked him out. I don't know if he was just sinking a little bit and Jesus helped him up. It doesn't matter. Jesus reached down and he saved him. When he cried out, Jesus reached down and he saved him. Cry out to him. In your storm, cry out to him. When your faith is not great, when you're starting to lose faith, cry out to him. It says, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. So Jesus, in his presence, they got into the boat. But I want to stop right there for a second because it's all too easy to study this scripture and to read this passage. And we always want to focus on the unbelief and the lack of faith from Peter, which is true, right? He had that bold faith when he stepped out. But once he lost focus, he began to sink. And we want to focus in on just the lack of faith of Peter. But we have to focus in on who Jesus is, who he's revealing to us, his grace. It was his grace that made him walk on that water to him. It was his grace that calmed the storm. It was his grace that he reached out his hand to pick up Peter out of the water. It wasn't just a lesson of unbelief and a lack of faith. There were 11 other dudes in that boat that said, nah, I'm good. I'm going to stay right here. Peter stepped out of the boat. He's calling us to step out of the boat, to face the storms head on, to get out of the boat and keep our focus in on him, to block out all the distractions, because it doesn't take much. Just a small gust of wind or water hitting us in the eye, and we lose focus on what God wants us to focus on, and we start to sink. They lost focus. But here's what the whole point. This is the whole point. It said that all those in the boat, Peter, all the disciples, they worshiped him. They worshiped him for who he was. He wasn't just a great prophet. He wasn't just a guy that could perform all these miracles. He wasn't just a guy that could speak eloquently and change people's lives instantly with just a touch. Not just somebody that could heal somebody in the touch. He was much more than that. That they said, truly, you are the Son of God. You are truly the Messiah. This is why this happened. He showed up walking on water to show them that I am God. That no other god or goddess or idol can do this. I am the only one that can walk on what I created. I am the Son of God. Keep your eyes on me, not all the distractions. Truly, you are the Son of God. So the final point is we have to fix our eyes on Jesus, not the storm, not the waves, not the rain or the depth of the water. Because all those things can be scary, and it's okay for us to be afraid. But he's building our faith. He's leading you into the storm. Not around it. If you're ever on a cruise and there's a hurricane, they sail around it. It's safe. They don't sail through it. If you're in an airplane, they don't go through a storm. They go above it or around it. Jesus is telling us to go through it. Go through the storm. I am commanding you. I am leading you through the storm. I'm trying to build your faith. Don't fix your eyes on the storm. Don't fix your eyes on your past and what he's already led you from. Don't fix your eyes on the distraction of the world. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Fix your eyes on him, not the wind and the waves and the water and all the scary things that can come on us. We will always go through storms. We will always go through battles. We will always go through trials. They will always happen. Becoming a Christian and following Jesus is not about, hey, everything's going to be perfect. Your life's going to be all set. We all know that that's furthest from the truth. But storms help us grow in who Christ is. Now, they are sins that we have in our life. And there are storms that we create by our sins. There are storms that we put in our lives because of the decisions that we've made. But there's also storms that God creates. But the thing about all those storms, even the ones that we create or the ones that he's leading you through, all you have to do is reach out your hand and cry out, Lord, save me. Help me. He will forgive you in the storm that you created. And he will also bring you out of the storm that he's putting you in. If you just cry out to him. See, Jesus allows storms in our lives for correction and protection. Jesus allows a storm to correct us, just like Jonah. He was on the boat. He was in a storm. Why? Because he was running from God. He was in a storm. And he tried to fix it on his own. He tried to control it. He was afraid. And God corrected him. It didn't end so well for Jonah. God still used Jonah for his purpose, but it was not pretty. If you don't know the story of Jonah, go and read it. But Jonah was in the storm, and God led him into that storm to correct him. God is leading us through our storms to correct us and perfect us so that we have our full faith in him. But he's wanting us to have faith, not just bold faith to get out of the boat, but staying faith, that no matter what comes up in our lives, and there will be storms in our life, is that we keep our eyes focused on him. Yeah, life may stink right now. I'm hurt. I am broken. But I'm not going to lose focus on the promises of God. I may feel like I'm sinking. I may feel like I'm under my head, that I'm drowning. And he's saying, just reach up. Reach out to me. Cry out to me, and he will be there to save us. Have faith in him. Know who he is. So in closing, I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. It's fitting that this is Peter. It says, in this you rejoice. In what? All of this. All the storms. All the battles. All the circumstances that we go through. All the trials that we go through, we can rejoice in it. Now for just a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Maybe you're going through a storm in your life right now and you're grieving. You're hurt. You're sinking. You're crying out. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. Our trials, our storms, your situations are making you pure, are making you harder, are making you better. He's building your faith. He's testing you. May be found in the result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why do we go through trials? Why do we go through storms? It's to reveal to us who he is. He's not just some prophet. He's not some guy that can just heal people. He is all those things. He is God. He is Savior. And if you don't know him as your Savior today, you're following some other idol, they're going to sink every time. Reach out and just say, save me. And he will reach down and he will rescue you. He will reach down and pull you out. Keep your eyes focused on his promises. You know, going back to when I was 6 or 7, 8, somewhere in there, and I'm at the devil's breakfast table. And I'm looking out at that dark, deep water. And I've heard all kinds of stories about the devil's breakfast table. It was so deep that there were trucks and cars and construction equipment in the bottom of it, like it didn't have a bottom. That there were guns and bodies, like I heard everything. Had to be there. It's the devil's breakfast table. That stuff's not there, just to let you know. It's only about 25 feet deep. Tested it later on. But I was standing there at that dark water, unsure, terrified. I wanted to swim. I wanted to get out in that water. I wanted to jump in. I wanted to have that bold faith that if I jumped in that deep, dark water, that I was not going to get taken by the devil, that I was going to be okay. And the only thing that comforted me, the only thing that made me sure that I could do it, was my earthly father, the one that brought me there, say, it's okay. He was already in it. You're going to be okay. It's just water. It's just a different looking water. You're going to be fine. And so I jumped in, and I was still scared at first, but I started to swim. It was okay. I was not dead. I didn't get taken by the devil. I didn't see a dead body floating up. I was fine. But what did it take? It took just a little bit of faith in the words of my father saying, you will be okay. And my eyes were focused in on him, and he wasn't drowning. He wasn't being taken. He was okay. So I was able to jump in. That was just my earthly father. Think about our heavenly father, the creator of the universe, the one that can actually walk on water. He's calling you out of the boat. He's calling us out to step out in bold faith, to walk out on the water. Even if we start to sink, even if we start to lose faith, he's saying, just reach out. In that storm, just reach out. Just reach out. Call to me. Call on my name. No other God can do these things. See, Jesus is revealing to all of us who he is. The disciples finally figured it out. They finally got it. That this was the Messiah. This was the King of Kings. This was the Lord of Lords. He was and is God. And not only can God walk on the waves, but our God conquered the depth of death. He sunk himself in death when he could have just rode around it, walked on top of it. He hung himself on the cross and died on the cross so that we could be saved, so that we could walk on that water. Reach out to him today. If you're going through a storm, reach out to him today. Keep your focus on him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your presence. Father, I pray that we sing this last song to you, that we stand and we worship you, that we worship the one that is walking out to us, the one that is calling out to us. Don't be afraid. Life is scary. The world is scary, but if you have your eyes focused in on me, take my hand. Walk in my ways. Hear my words. Feel my presence. Father, we thank you that you've crashed over us today, that you've stirred in our hearts. Father, I pray that if there's anyone in here today that's going through a storm, that they're going through a trial, they're going through a battle, Father, I pray that you just take out your hand. And Father, I just pray that they reach out and they take it, that they just cry out to you, save me, that you are there. Father, if there's anyone here in this room that does not know you as Savior, that they came in here and they're looking back at their past, they don't feel worthy, they feel like they're sinking, that they need a Savior, I pray that they just reach out to you and cry out to you, Lord, save me, and you will save them. Father, we thank you for this awesome event of you showing us who you are. And no matter what happens in our lives, no matter the storms, how great they may be, that we are always in your protection if we keep our eyes focused on your word and on your presence. And Father, you're continuously making us stronger. Reveal to us your ways and what you want us to learn in those storms, that our faith has been made stronger because in our weakest moments, we look to you. We keep our eyes focused on you. Father, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray.